Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, it's the 29th day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason, back from a weekend on the farm with my brothers and my father. I'll tell you all about a great and magnificent start to the harvest season. Hope yours is going well, too, as we begin the process of going through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Kurt Kimmel will be here to talk about the marketplace. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, and the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies up in Chicago, Illinois. For now, know that the weather is good. It may not stay that way, but it's fantastic to be in the field today on this Monday afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers on this Monday afternoon and see how they finished up at the CME Group in Chicago, where December corn was up 2¾ cents today at $3.25¾. The March at 3.38½, 2¾ cents higher. And May futures at $3.47, up 2¾. July 3.54, 2½ higher. December up 2¼ at 3.70¾. That, of course, the 2015 December corn contract. Now the soy complex bean futures 13¼ cents the gain at $9.23½. January 9.32¼, up 13½ in the March. 9.40½, up 13½ cents. May futures 13½ at 9.48¾. In July at 9.54¾, 13½ higher. November of next year at 9.44½, up 12¾. Bean meal for the day finished at 3.08 cents. That's up 90 cents. And bean oil for the afternoon 87 cents higher at 32.79. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at 161.12½ were up 267.5 in the October contract. December futures there up 250 at $164.60 per 100 pounds. The feeder cattle finished at 235.12½ in the October, $2.25 higher. November up the $3 limit at $2.34.60 or $200.34.60. Lean hogs at $107.30, up 77.5 cents in the lead option October, and December at $94.92½, up 45 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The crude oil for the day is now trading at $94.53. That's up 99 cents a barrel. Heating oil at $2.70½, 0.4 cents higher. And the gasoline on the RBOB, or wholesale price, at $2.69Ⅷ, 3⅙ cents higher. Natural gas at $4.12⁄6, up 9⅝ cents. And ethanol futures at $1.59½. A gallon. That's a penny and 0.2 cents higher. Checking out the others, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 64 points at 16,966. Gold futures at $1,217, about $1.75 higher. And the dollar index is down 0.052 at 85.715. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. By the way, on our way to a high of 83 degrees on sunny skies. North-northwest winds at about 6 miles an hour. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 55. Winds should be calm this evening. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny and 76 with a northeast wind at 7 miles an hour. Tuesday evening, clear with a low of 52 degrees. East-northeast winds then on Tuesday night at 7 miles an hour. Wednesday, sunny skies and 80. Wednesday night, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and a low of 61 degrees. Thursday, showers and the thunderstorms are likely in the area, mostly cloudy with a high of 77. Chance of rainfall for the Urbana-Champaign area set at 70% for Thursday. That will continue into Thursday evening with mostly cloudy skies and a 55-degree low. And then sunny skies will return on Friday and 68 degrees. Saturday, sunny and 63. Sunday, mostly sunny and 67. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Earth Risk Technologies.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for the 29th day of September. It is a Monday afternoon. We're joined now by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to take up, some green on the screen in Chicago. That's been an unusual event and occurrence over the last month and a half or so. What prompted corn and soybeans to move higher today?
Well, it felt like lemon up, even though it wasn't quite that much. But nice to see a positive close, especially after a big harvest weekend, per se. But several things. Just a lack of selling overall kind of failed to confine the month-end, end-of-the-quarter liquidation, per se, profit-taking, in a sense. They've made some huge profits being short here. For quite some time. When you look at the big picture here, beans have dropped, over $3.75. Corn's dropped $1.95 off those spring highs. So the market's been incredibly oversold. And we saw a situation where the funds were big buyers. And also, too, we had a little bit of weather coming at us here on Wednesday, Thursday.
So when you look at those numbers and you think about them for just a bit and put them into context with potential grain stocks reports and the numbers that might be released from the United States Department of Agriculture tomorrow, that's at 11 a.m. Central Time, by the way, and you can find those numbers on our website at willag.org right about that time. What does it tell you about the feeling of the funds? Are they of the mind that this grain stocks report might show them something that would be at least friendly to the marketplace for both corn and soybeans?
Well, when you look over the years, we've had situations where the new crop came in early and was able to go into the pipeline, satisfy some old crop demand. And so there's some ideas that, if the late harvest getting started compared to previous years, and that the basis was so extremely strong until just, 2 weeks ago, that maybe this grain stocks number might be at the lower end of expectations. So we'll kind of see how the cards fall. It's kind of old news. The bulls are hoping that number will be smaller, so we'll sort of have a little less supplies going into this 14 crop to give reason, for a little bit of recovery. So we'll see the numbers at 11 o'clock tomorrow and sort of digest them, and I hope everybody's tuned into your technology. There you have your fingertips, because you do an excellent job getting those numbers out fairly quickly.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate that. Dave and I both work really hard. Dave puts them up on the website. I happen to have them up on the website at the same time, so you can just go to willag.org and, within as long as I have access to the numbers, within 30 or 40 seconds, maybe even quicker than that, you'll see them either on my Twitter feed at Commodity Week. Your Twitter feed, by the way, is ckimmel3, correct?
Correct.
At ckimmel3. And those actually both will end up on our website at willag.org. So you don't even have to follow Twitter. You can just see what the Twitter feed looks like and try to put some of those numbers up and what the grain stocks figures look like as you're out in the field. You can pull them up on your smartphone because our website just pairs down so that it looks really good right there on your smartphone. It's all at willag.org. Okay, enough advertisement for the day. Let's talk more about the marketplace. Producers are going to be in the field at least over the next couple of days, really hard and heavy. They were in the field, I think, not as much as I thought, at least in the central Illinois area. I was back on the farm near Elkhart, Springfield, Lincoln area over the weekend, and drove around with Dad quite a bit, and I was surprised by the lack of combines in the field, but I'm pretty sure that there was quite a bit of harvesting going on. What did you hear about it over the weekend?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of activity, kind of isolated, spotty for the most part. Guys were out doing something somewhere. It's just going to take a little time to get the crop out. The moisture levels are coming down. Yields are surprisingly good where they didn't have white mold or too much water. Those taxpayers are going to struggle. But the biggest bounty being had is Southern Illinois, I believe, on a percentage-wise. Ground that normally produces, 120 bushels an acre is coming in over 200 bushels. And some of these bean fields between here and there are pumping out some 90 bushel yields. It's not like that everywhere by all means, but there's some pleasant surprises out there. And as long as these yields continue to come in at the upper end of expectations, it's probably going to suggest that we're in the mindset that production, we're producing more than what we're going to be using for this crop year. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. It seems, though, that guys are taking advantage and selling a little across the scale if it pencils out. Others are looking for storage and going to sit, ride the storm out into this winter time.
If they ride the storm out, what kind of help can you give them?
All kinds of good help. It depends on your own situation. But for the most part, you could even in some areas actually sell the December futures and plan on delivering it. I mean, if you're close to delivery point and there's basis 40, 50 cents wide, just do what the commercials are going to do. They're going to buy the cash grain as cheap as they can. They're going to hedge the board and sell it and set on it, wait for basis to narrow, or else deliver it, and I know it's a little cost, a little bit art to it, but that's going to happen this year. Also, too, you can move it and replace it. And thirdly, we're looking at what commodity might have the most downside here this winter, next spring, and we kind of view the bean market. You can place some hedges out there in the 2015 beans to sort of protect your crop, too. So there's all kinds of different strategies. I believe the name of the game is trying to take a little out of the middle. The big move's done. Well, when you look at the charts, we're getting down to some historic lows. And it might be more of a sideways congestion type of trade. So there's quite a few things to look at.
Hey, Kurt, get out there this afternoon. It's a beautiful day. See if you can find somebody to ride along with on the combine.
Might have to take the long way home.
All right, there you go. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on this beautiful Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. By the way, if you have not visited our website recently, please do, and that address is willag.org. And when you get there, you will find a way to sign up for our November the 24th Ag Farm Assets Conference. That's in Normal, Illinois. We'd sure like you to get signed up for that very, very shortly if you get the opportunity. And you can do that at 800-898-1065. Our Farm Assets Conference will include a session on land values with Bruce Sherrick, crop insurance under the new Farm Bill. That'll come up with Gary Schnittke. And we'll also talk about the Arkin PLC decision with Jonathan Kappas, along with having 12 of our regular on-air analysts to talk about corn and soybeans and wheat and the cash grain market. It's all November the 24th. That's the Monday before Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois. We'll be at the Marriott for your ticket. You get the meal and you get parking in the deck right next to the Marriott. We start about 11 o'clock in the morning, a little bit earlier than that, and we'll run until about 5 o'clock in the evening. Buy your ticket now at willag.org or at 800-898-1065. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. As I told you as we began our half-hour program together, I was on the farm over the weekend with Dad and my brothers there in the Elkhart-Lincoln area. They were harvesting both corn and soybeans. The corn was really good. The beans, not so bad either. So it's been a good start to the harvest weekend. Michael Schmidt, who is the president and CEO of Central Illinois Ag, was out to talk to them a little bit about one of their combines, actually both of them. And I took the opportunity to ask him a few questions about how busy the fall might be for implement dealers and what kinds of things have to happen to make the harvest go well in the field for farmers, and the kinds of calls that they might get there in Atlanta, Illinois, and other places. One note, there's quite a bit of background noise. That's because the auger wagon was running and they were dumping soybeans at the time of our interview. During the growing season, what is your busiest time of year?
Busiest time is the spring and the fall, obviously. April and May to get the crop planted, and then usually starting after Labor Day, September, October, November to get the crops harvested and then the groundwork.
What kind of problems do you encounter during the fall in particular? What times of day and night do you get calls?
They usually start calling about 6:30 in the morning, and the last calls are sometime after 10 o'clock, usually at night.
And what kinds of problems do they have?
Mostly nowadays it's electronic issues where they've forgot how to do a setting or how to change something. They've changed crop types from corn to soybeans and not sure how to get the head calibrated the right way. Maybe their auto guidance isn't working. Their yield and their moisture monitors are not as accurate as they'd like them. So that's a lot of what the calls we get.
How long have you been working on Case and International Combine?
My entire life. I'm the fifth generation. I've been around it since the day I was born.
How have they changed over the years?
We've gone from rotor, lots of belts and moving parts to CVTs and drive shafts and hydraulically driven components. So today's machines are very, very simple to operate.
Pretty simple, but pretty complicated as well. However, simple enough for me, just an old farm boy, to sit down and run the combine for a couple of rounds. Robbie trusted me with his machine while he went around the backside to make sure he wasn't kicking out too many soybeans. And in fact, he had it set right. But I stayed in the operator's seat long enough to dump on the go. How about that? It was a great weekend for me. I had fun with the boys and my father, too. We were out watching harvest. If you get a chance just to go out in the countryside and you don't actually farm, go watch. Just pull over to the side of the road and just watch the combines and the tractors work. By the way, when you do that, be safe because those things move really slowly and they're really big. Be careful out on the roads because there's an awful lot of equipment on the roadside during this harvest season. Let's check in on the agricultural news for the afternoon. Just a couple of quick stories. Some unregulated genetically modified wheat has popped up at a second location in the United States, this time in the state of Montana. That according to the USDA. No genetically engineered wheat has been approved for U.S. farming, and the discovery of unapproved varieties can pose a potential threat to U.S. trade with countries that have concerns about genetically modified foods. USDA says that the incident is on a smaller scale this time around than a similar finding in the state of Oregon last year. That one prompted several Asian countries to temporarily ban U.S. wheat imports. The herbicide-resistant wheat was found on 1 to 3 acres in Montana, while the genetically engineered plants found in Oregon were spread over more than 100 acres. And the plants were found at a university research center in Huntley, Montana, where genetically modified wheat was legally tested by seed companies like Monsanto some 11 years ago. The plants in Oregon, however, were found in a field that had never conducted such test. That prompted, of course, some questions about how they got there. The Department of Agriculture says it is investigating the discovery of the Montana wheat, which is a different variety than the genetically modified wheat found in Oregon. USDA says the wheat would be safe to eat, but that none of it entered the marketplace. The other story for the day comes from Ukraine, where continued hostilities in the eastern part of the country have taken a toll on the country's grain production. That according to the consulting group Ukraine Agro Consult, agrimoney.com reports the group has downgraded harvest expectations by 1.1 million tons to 57.4 million tons in its latest forecast. UKR Agro Consult attributed crop loss primarily to the conflict in eastern Ukraine between government troops and Russian-backed separatist fighters. In our opinion, some 25% of corn plantings in Donetsk region and some 30% in Luganex region have been damaged by the warfare and are unable and unsuitable for harvesting. The group says despite the conflict occurring in a relatively small area of the country, Ukraine's national yield could be down as much as 13% from last year. The Ukrainian government, meantime, reduced its own harvest forecast from 63 million tons to 60 million tons. And that's a quick look at today's agricultural news. And I know you're really busy at the moment, but if you have yet to sign up for our November the 24th Farm Assets Conference in Normal, Illinois, probably better do it pretty quickly. The program includes keynote presentations on land values, crop insurance under the new farm bill, the ARC and PLC decision, as well as marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. Lunch and parking is included for the $25 ticket price. That is November the 24th, the Monday before Thanksgiving in Normal. You can order your tickets right now at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065 or online at willag.org. Up next, you, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in the cash grain market is Amy Sage. She's at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Are things busy there today, Amy?
We're picking up here. A lot of guys switching to beans this afternoon.
Ah, so when they come in, what kind of moisture are they testing?
Actually, it's come down quite a bit, too, anywhere from 10 to 14, but we are seeing some closer to 10, 11 now, so they're drying fast.
I know the folks in the South were harvesting some 70, 80, 90 bushel beans. I suspect that may not be the case here, but you can tell me better what you're hearing about yields.
I haven't heard a lot of 80s, but we have been hearing some 70 bushel plus beans, a few lower than that. But for the most part, what we've seen so far, guys have been very pleased and looking in the lower 70s so far.
Yeah, I saw 70, 72, 74 run across to the combine yield monitors over the weekend, so I suspect that'll be the case. They're moving pretty quickly. How quickly do you think they'll be back to corn? Will they do beans until we get to the rainfall over the next couple of days?
Yeah, I think so. That seems to be most guys' plans with the rain in the forecast Wednesday, Thursday, too. Now it sounds like we'll probably see beans cut until then at least and then probably reevaluate from there.
Did your price structure follow the CME group higher today or did your basis break?
Actually, we made no changes to our bean basis today, or corn for that matter, but we did follow last week as the processor market fell out of bed in a hurry, but we're stuck at our all-fall bid for right now and haven't changed that yet, 20 under.
So. 20 under, and what does that put the price at?
So today that puts us at 903.5.
Mm-hmm. And for your corn, what do your prices look like for the all-fall bid?
Yep, all fall bid. We are still at 27 under, and we're 299 cash on the close today.
Your expectation, Amy, as we move through the next 2 weeks and harvest really gears up to full speed, will you stay here or will you break more?
I think it'll break more. I think once we get further into harvest, maybe in a couple weeks, that might lower a little bit yet even. I think this is probably about as good as it's going to get for a while anyway. So. Unfortunately, I hate to say that, but I think that's true.
I know you've had a pretty easy job of putting this crop away the last, pretty easy, relatively speaking, the last couple of years. What kinds of preparations have you made there this year that are bigger than the previous years?
Yeah, absolutely. We did. We were able to capture some quick shipment premiums early on. Got some trains loaded out and made a lot of space for what we anticipate to come in for the rest of the year. We plan on piling as much corn as we need to now going forward. So, fortunately, too, the corn's drying down in the field quite a bit. Average moisture we've got coming in is now down to under 20. Dryer capacity should be good to go, and we've got plenty of space, so bring it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Sage.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Mocha Day. The Mocha's roots is not in espresso steamed milk and chocolate, but rather a coffee bean with a chocolatey taste native to Ethiopia. It was Marco Polo that introduced the mocha bean to Europe and then the world. It's also St. Michael's Day, patron of grocers and bankers. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Herman Biggs was born. An American physician, He pioneered the use of bacteriological studies in the field of public health for the prevention and control of contagious diseases. In 1860, Chapman Aaron Harris died. He was a co-founder of the first dental school in the world, the Baltimore College of Dental Surgery. In 1913, Rudolf Diesel died, a German thermal engineer. He invented the internal combustion engine that bears his name. He patented his concept in 1892. 21 years later, he threw himself over the rail of an English Channel steamer in 1913 after having lost control over his invention and after receiving a great deal of criticism in the German engineering journals for his theories. And in 2008, following the bankruptcies of Lehman Brothers and Washington Mutual, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 777.68 points, the largest single-day point loss in its history. And that's this day in agricultural history.
WILL programs are made possible by Bevere Cafe. Bevere Cafe offers versatile catering options for breakfast meetings, working lunches, or afternoon receptions. Services include a wide selection of food and beverages suited to any budget. More information is available online or at 244-2233.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo joins us from the offices of Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. Let's start with the weather forecast for the next 2 or 3 days right here in the Corn Belt. Will everybody be able to run, and then what happens, Mark?
Yeah, wide open conditions continue across much of the Corn Belt now into Wednesday before a cold front advances and begins to at least introduce some rain activity and thus some very brief delays in harvest progress. But overall here, the pattern, not only for the next few days, but then thereafter, looking at for the next 2 weeks, it's going to be turning more active relative to what it has been, but there's simply no sign of any wet patterns evolving across the Midwest, which would be of biggest concern at the present time. Rather, it's more kind of a normal kind of early October pattern, feature rain activity and times, but they'll be interspersed with about 4 days of overall drier conditions. So bottom line, we don't see any issues with harvesting as we go through the first half of October.
That is good conditions. How about the second half of October? I know longer term is tough.
Really pushing us out on a limb here, Todd.
Why not?
The item that we're watching right now is a increase in cold air flowage during the middle part of the month. And so that were to be the case here, that would keep things at more of a normal rainfall pattern, or potentially leading way to a wetter than normal pattern rounding out the month. But that's kind of our early call at the present time. It doesn't appear that it would be a dry second half of October leading way to very rapid harvest progress. But if anything here, the early call would be for a kind of a normal to wetter than normal back half of October.
And parts of South America are planting their fall harvest crops, meaning those that would be harvested quite some time from now. What kind of conditions are they working under?
Well, they're starting off in pretty good shape from a soil moisture base in Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Argentina. There are some areas where actually running a bit excessive here, and that's southern Brazil, which is actually right now more of an issue for winter wheat. But parts of Paraná, southern Rio Grande, down to Rio Grande do Sul, even southern Mato Grosso do Sul, picked up 4 to 5 inches of rainfall over the weekend, and expect similar totals as we go through the next 5 days. That looks to continue into next week as well. So maybe some early planting delays down in southern Brazil. It's more of an issue for winter wheat, which is being harvested across that area. But up north in Mato Grosso, the largest soybean-producing state there in Brazil, they've seen an increase in rainfall here of late, and overall, a good start to the season.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo's with Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget to buy your tickets for our Farm Assets Conference. That's November the 24th, the Monday before Thanksgiving. You can do that right now if you want at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065 or online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org.